Okay, Alexander, let's talk about what's going on with the assassination of the Iranian top nuclear scientist. And we have gotten some more reports since it's happened. It was a really large team. I believe the latest count was 60, 61 or 62 people, including 50 people who were actually there to prepare for the assassination, another 12 people that were actually involved in the actual shootout, the actual assassination. Israel, Mossad, that's the latest that we're getting. Israel has not commented on it, but once again, we have some information that points to the fact that it was Israel. We also have someone in the US, a US official, an American official, once again, anonymous, but he told the New York Times that Israel was behind it. Once again, an anonymous intelligence official told the New York Times that Israel was behind the attack. What do you make of what happened, Alexander?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that this man, Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, to give him his name, it was indeed an extremely important official, an Iranian scientist. It's widely assumed and believed that he was, in fact, the head of the Iranian nuclear weapons project. Of course, the Iranians deny they have a nuclear weapons project, but they certainly do have a nuclear enrichment project that's, enriching nuclear fuel to a level that would be compatible with developing nuclear weapons. And of course, they've also undoubtedly got the technology, if they wanted to convert that enriched fuel into nuclear weapons, if that was the step that they decided to take. So he was supposedly, this man Fakhrizadeh, the man in overall charge of that, an extremely high value target, given that the that there is so much opposition to the Iranian nuclear project from the United States, from Israel, from Saudi Arabia, from various other countries. You would have thought that the Iranians would go to great lengths to protect this man and to ensure that he was safe. The fact that he was assassinated in this way suggests a total breakdown of Iran's internal security system, and it suggests that it's simply unfit for purpose. And that is further confirmed by the way in which the Iranians are constantly changing their story about this. Now, the first story was that he was alive and had been taken to hospital, and that there wasn't even really a proper attack, and there were denials. Then there were admissions that he had been attacked. Then we've had this story, which was yesterday, that he'd been attacked by a team of 12 people with 50 others providing logistics, and that some of those people who attacked him in an ambush had themselves been killed, and that this ambush was set up through an explosion, which apparently, threw his car out of direction, and that some of his bodyguards were killed, and that some of his attackers were killed. And then a few hours later, we got a completely different story, which was that, in fact, he was actually killed, not by an attacking team of 12 people, 12 gunmen, but that he was actually killed by a motor vehicle in which there was a remotely controlled machine gun, which killed him. So that seems to remove those 12 people from the scene. Now, let me stress, these are all official Iranian accounts. The Iranians are changing their story almost by the hour in a clear sign of how shaken they are by this and how shocked they are by the extent to which their internal security arrangements have been penetrated, because whoever killed this man knew where he would be at the particular time at which he was killed, knew that he would be in the car which he was in, which he was, and that he would have bodyguards there, set this up with an explosion, and set this up with somehow or other so that he was actually shot as well. The whole thing sounds like not just an extremely well-planned assassination, but also an assassination carried out by someone who has access to the most sensitive internal security facts about Iran, knows exactly where top Iranian officials are, and also is able to carry out within Iran a very sophisticated assassination of this kind. Now, who would that be? Well, one possibility has to be Israel. And it might be suggestive that there was a reported meeting between Benjamin Netanyahu, who is the Prime Minister of Israel, and MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Apparently, this happened in Saudi Arabia, and it's possible that one of the things they discussed there was the fact that the Israelis had a plan or a project to take out this person, to kill this person. So that's possible. Another possibility has to be Saudi Arabia, which also has a distinct hostility towards Iran, and which does have a very sophisticated intelligence system. Saudi Arabia's intelligence apparatus is more sophisticated and more effective than its actual military is. And the fact that some of these these supposed assassins, this team of 12 assassins, which the Iranians were talking about, that some of these people were apparently killed in the exchanges of fire. At least that was one story the Iranians gave. And the fact that some of them were described by Iranians as suicide attackers may suggest that these were jihadi fighters infiltrated into Iran, perhaps by Saudi intelligence, and that they carried out this attack. A third possibility is that the United States was in some way involved, and possibly that this was done by an Iranian dissident group, in which case a group known as MEK, Mujahideen Khalq, which is a very strange Iranian dissident group with some rather strange ideas, which appear to mix religion with Marxism, but which is extremely hostile to the Ayatollahs and which has worked closely with the United States, that they might have been involved. So there's all sorts of possibilities. All I will say is whoever it was who did this knew a great deal, as I said, about Iran, was able to set up an assassination of this kind within Iran. And the Iranians themselves are clearly caught completely off balance and are changing their story by the hour and are obviously extremely embarrassed by what happened. Now, I think that's all we can say about this for the moment. If I'm going to make a guess as to who it was, I would guess probably the Israelis were involved, probably the Saudis were involved, probably the US was also involved at some level, and clearly various important actors, because they were able to get an assassination organized in this way and were able to track this man's movements and know an awful lot about his security in such extraordinary detail. So lots of guesses here, but whatever it was, the most important thing is Iran has lost its most important nuclear scientist, and its entire internal security system has been exposed as deeply penetrated and unfit for purpose.
All right, so we have conflicting stories coming out of Iran, official conflicting stories. The last I heard, which was, it sounded like the most solid, but I guess that's not confirmed either, was what I said in the beginning, 62 people, 12 people, and that Israel was involved. But as I said, Israel has not made a statement about it. You have an anonymous source going to the New York Times and saying it was Israel, but we don't know. What we do know is that Netanyahu did meet with MBS, and we also know that Jared Kushner is on his way to meet with MBS as well. And so it looks like Saudi Arabia may also be involved in this some way, somehow.
I mean, blaming Saudi Arabia would be hugely embarrassing because Saudi Arabia is an Islamic country like Iran is, and the Iranians tend to actually despise Saudi Arabia and have contempt for it and don't take Saudi intelligence particularly seriously. So if it was the Saudis, they would be, you know, particularly embarrassed by that fact. And I think they would be very nervous about admitting that the US has penetrated their internal security and intelligence services to this extent. So we mustn't assume that simply because the Iranians are blaming the Israelis, it was the Israelis. And we must also take note of the fact that the Iranians are changing their story all the time. So we cannot assume anyway that anything they tell us about this affair is true. I mean, when somebody changes their story, these are official statements from Iran, then, as I said, you can't assume that anything they say is true. Personally, I would say that the scenario involving the 62 people is the most solid, and that Israel, which does have great experience of carrying out this kind of operation, probably was involved. But I wouldn't say that either of these conclusions or statements are absolutely secure. The most important thing now is what happens next. And that really comes down to what Iran is going to do. Will Iran lash out? Will it carry out its own strikes or attacks? Will it try and attack Saudi Arabia or Israel, or launch attacks against the United States? Or will it lick its wounds and make all kinds of threats, but actually, and in practice, do nothing?
Well, if you can take the Soleimani incident as an indication as to what they'll do, most likely it'll be nothing, right? I mean, an iconic strike, perhaps, but nothing in essence. If you take the Soleimani incident as a benchmark.
I think that's exactly what they're going to do. I think when they sit down and think this thing through, they will realize that if they actually do anything, if they attack Saudi Arabia or they attack Israel, or heavens help us, if they attack the United States in any form, you know, the consequences for them will be disastrous, and that it's quite likely that whoever launched this attack on this particular scientist might have been actually trying to goad the Iranians into launching such an attack. So I think they will bluster and they will make all kinds of threats and they will actually do nothing. The one thing they may do is increase further the percentage at which they are enriching their nuclear fuel. They've already said they will increase that to 20%. So, you know, it's getting ever closer to becoming weapons grade. But realistically, they were probably doing that already, or were probably intending to do that already anyway, in order to gain leverage over Biden in any future negotiations, assuming, of course, Biden does become US president. So I don't think that's actually a real threat. And I don't think the Iranians are going to do actually very much other than, as you said, bluster, threaten, but in the end, do nothing. The one thing that ought to be their priority is to find out how this massive security lapse took place. And in any functioning state, which to some extent Iran is, that ought to be their priority now. People who were responsible for running Iran's internal security systems really ought to be comprehensively sacked, replaced with more efficient people, and perhaps advice from outside powers that know how to do this thing better. And I'm thinking of China and Russia, ought urgently to be sought. I would have thought that would be the priority rather than, as I said, strike out in any kind of direction and bring disaster, greater disaster, upon Iran's head.
Realistically, this is not as big an incident as to what happened with Soleimani. So one would expect that Iran would not do anything or push this any further or escalate in one way or another, correct?
I agree. Yes, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, Soleimani was an iconic figure in Iran. He was actually a popular figure in Iran. I doubt most Iranians have heard of this man who's just been killed. And of course, the other thing about the Soleimani assassination is that it took place in clear sight. The United States was quite open that it had carried it out. There was never any doubt about it. And so from Iran's point of view, that was an open challenge, which Iran felt some need to respond to. The problem with this one is not that this person is irreplaceable. There are undoubtedly other Iranian scientists, and he's not anywhere near as important as Soleimani was, and nowhere near as popular as Soleimani was. But it is more embarrassing because it happened within Iran itself, and the Iranians have been exposed as being unable to protect on their own territory one of their most senior people, one of their most important people. So, I mean, it's going to be it's absolutely shocking, and it must create great dismay within Iran itself. It will shake the Iranian people's faith in the efficiency of Iran's own security services. So that, I think, is what makes it more, what makes it different. In some ways, less important, much less important, but far more embarrassing.
All right, we will leave it there, and let's see if we. Do you think we'll get the truth as to what happened, or no?
No. We won't get the truth because the Iranians are so embarrassed about it that they won't want us. Won't want us to know the full truth. And whoever did this thing, whoever was behind this thing, this murder, this assassination, and it was probably a group of people. I mean, it bears all the hallmarks of having been a team effort. So probably Israel was involved. I mean, this is a guess, but I think it's highly likely. Probably Saudi Arabia was involved. Again, that's a guess, but it's highly likely. But whoever was involved, they will want to keep it secret. They will not want to publicize the fact. The Israelis, as you rightly say, are not admitting to involvement. The Saudis are not admitting to involvement. Nobody so far is admitting to any involvement. So I doubt we will know the truth. And the Iranians certainly will not tell us the truth because, as we see, they're changing their story literally from hour to hour.
All right. Alexander Merkurs, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Hit that notifications bell. Check us out on BitChute, Odyssey, and on Rumble. We on Rumble. You can find that link in the description box down below. Also, please donate to the channel on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. And please help out this channel by making a purchase at the Duran shop and pick up some Duran merchandise. You'll find that link in the description box down below.
Indeed, you will. And you will find a great merchandise in our shop. You will find all the amazing new mugs by our great friend and artist, Dimitris Economou, very well known in Greece. And you can see he's now designing mugs for us, graphics for our mugs and patterns for our shirts. And these are exclusive to the Duran and, of course, also exclusive for our viewers. And remember, these are also amazing mugs in themselves. We've always gone for quality in our products. And you will find also shirts with Dimitri's designs on them. And you will find shirts with also our own logo, as you can see there, and with the flags of various countries. And you can also find flags of various countries on our mugs too. Here is the flag of the United States, by way of example. And we've also got, of course, as well as shirts, we've also got our hats. This is one with the flag of Great Britain, you can see. And we've got hoodies, and we've got stickers, and we've got amazing things in our shop. And you support us by coming to our shop, and you support us, as Alex said, by visiting us on our other platforms like Rumble, like Odyssey, like Library, like BitChute. And you also support us by coming and supporting us through Patreon and Subscribestar. And that way, we can continue to give you great programs and wonderful analysis like we've just done.
All right, Alexander Mercurius, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.